Dear ones, would you turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, and I will begin reading with verse 26. Mark 14, beginning with verse 26. And as you find that, I did a little bit of research in what happened in Jesus' life in the last week that he walked this earth. Last Sunday, we had the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. On Monday, he cleansed the temple and also predicted his death, as we can read in John 12. On Tuesday, he curses a fig tree. He engages in a teaching about entering into God's kingdom. He shares the greatest commandment teaching. He taught about hypocrisy that we find in Matthew. He talks about the widow and her two mites. He does a teaching about the last days while on the Mount of Olives. Wednesday, Judas agrees to betray him. Thursday, yesterday, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. He shares the Last Supper. He predicts Peter's denial. He gives the teaching of the vine and the branches. He prays for his disciples and for us, as found in John 17. He prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. We'll read part of that. Friday, Judas betrays Jesus. Jesus stands before Annas, Caiaphas, and the Sanhedrin. Peter denies him. Judas hangs himself. Jesus is beaten by soldiers, receives a crown of thorns, and a scarlet robe. He's taken to Golgotha. He's crucified. As he's hanging on the tree, he has the conversation with the thief. And then he yields up the ghost. And Joseph requests his body. That's 5 days worth. So much our Lord did in the last week that he was walking this earth. So let's begin reading. Mark 14, beginning with verse 26. And when they had sung a hymn, which was actually part of the ceremony of the feast of the Passover, where they would sing different psalms, that's what that's referring to there. He went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, I should die with thee. I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And when they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Dear ones, I want us to just think about the depth of this verse 33, where he says, and he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. If we read that in the King's English, it doesn't sound that like he's having that difficult of a time. But in the Amplified, it says, and he took with him Peter and James and John, and he began to be struck with terror and amazement and deeply troubled and depressed. This was the event in the garden itself was extremely difficult on our Lord. He was beginning to have clarity come into his mind of what was exactly going to happen. So I want us to think about it. It's not just that he was amazed and he was sore distressed. He was battling emotional terror and mental terror in these moments. Excuse me. And I'll read verse 34 and then continue reading. And he said unto them, my soul is exceeding heavy, sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and he saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Think about what that must have been like, dear ones. Peter was the one that was always ready to stick up for the master. Peter was the one that felt he needed to protect the master. And we have evidence that he was serious. Peter was very serious about the things that he was saying. And Jesus has to see him asleep again. And he has to say, Peter, couldn't you just 1 hour watch with me? And then he says to Peter, watch and pray, lest he enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up. Let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and he kissed him. Dear ones, think about the evil in that. You kiss a friend. And Judas said, I'll betray him with a kiss. And even would say, Master, Master, and kisses him. Imagine what that must have been like for the Lord. It's one thing to know, and Jesus knew what was going to happen. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to begin to experience it. The friend that you walked with for years has betrayed you in such an intimate way. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. That's Peter. When Peter said, Jesus, I'm going to die with you, he meant it. Peter was ready to die. If you're not ready to die, you don't draw a sword and lop off somebody's ear. Jesus answered and said unto him, Are you come out against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not, but that the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And when the young man went, and the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. And with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness did not agree. The witness agreed not together. And there arose certain that bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy the temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witnesses agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it to which these witness against thee?" But he held his peace, and he answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, "What need we any further witness? We have heard this blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him, to say unto him, "Prophesy." And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also wast with Jesus in Nazareth." And he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." And he went out of the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say unto them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after that, they stood and said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." But he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man whom ye speak, of whom ye speak." And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. Continuing in chapter 15. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answering said unto him, "Thou sayest it." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made an insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. And Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye do? What will ye that I do with him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And when he cried again, and they cried again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why, what evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, whom he had scourged, to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple, plaited a crown of thorns, and put it upon his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted, the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription and his accusation was written over, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right and the other on his left, as the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And as they passed by, they railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also, the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of the Jews, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he calleth Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the less, and Joses and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And now when it was even, was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled, marveled if he was already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, because when he was, let me read that again. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled the stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses, beheld where he was laid. Through the end of chapter 15. Dear ones, as I think about these 30 hours, let's say, not even, what Jesus had to go through. He's had an incredible week in terms of teachings and emotion. You know, we start the week with him weeping over Jerusalem because of what Jerusalem was going to suffer. So we can sense that he has this anxiety, has this agony within him because of what's going to take place, not just with him, but what's going to happen to the region, what's going to happen to his Jewish brethren. And then it's though he knows that his week is, his time is running out. There's so many things he wants to make sure that we know. There's so many actions he wants to take care of, so many things he wants to engage in. If we think about, if I'm not mistaken, one third of all the Gospels is focused on the last week of Jesus' life. Just think about the teachings that John records about the vine, the branches. All of those parables. Jesus saying, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. All of those teachings. The high priestly prayer in John 17, where Jesus prays for his disciples and those that will come after believing on their words. That's us. He prayed for all mankind in that moment, knowing what was happening. And then we get to this point where he's going to have the Passover with his disciples, and he's going to go through all the rituals that he needs to go through as a good Jew to celebrate the Passover. And then he institutes the Lord's Supper for us so that we could understand what it means. Do you remember what he said in that after, you know, he said, took the bread and broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body. It's the same thing that Paul rehearses in Corinthians. Then he takes the wine and he says, this is the New Testament in my blood. But you remember what he said? I won't drink it again till I can drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus was thinking of something much greater than what he was going through. It was going to be horrible. I'm glad that I found this amplified, that I took the time to read it. Be struck with terror. Dear ones, we can't imagine what Jesus was thinking. We can't imagine what Jesus was feeling. But had he not done it, we would have to live it. All of the terror, all of the agony, all of the anguish that he went through was ours. It's mine. Had he not gone through it, I would have had to. But I didn't. And I don't. Because of him. And dear ones, the reason why I read this, and I'll read it again, Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What is the writer of Hebrews talking about here? He's talking about all those that went before us. All those that lived faithful lives. All of those that endured things that are hard for humans to endure. We're surrounded by them. They are the examples that we have in our lives. Who might they be? This week I was sharing with a class. I was leading a discussion based on the 21 indisputable qualities of a leader. And one of them is character, and another one is courage. And I said, isn't it amazing when we have people that we can look up to, people that we can hearken back to, that have endured difficult things? And so because it was a business group, I said, let's look at people that, leaders that had incredible courage. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln had incredible courage. And so I took the class through, you know, what did he do? Well, you know, first of all, his cabinet were his rivals. He signed the Emancipation Proclamation. And then he spent all of his political capital to have a constitutional amendment outlawing slavery, and it cost him his life. So I was telling these people, look at the courage. But that's not what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. He's not talking about Lincoln. Lincoln was a courageous man. But then I said, my father-in-law spent 3 years in Yugoslavian prison for his faith. Had inhumane things done to him. Things he couldn't even talk to his daughters about. Many of the things that Opa suffered went first to the grave, because he shared it with Mutti, went first to the grave with Mutti, and then him. I said, think about the power that is for my sons to be able to have someone like him that exemplified character and courage and faith. Those are the witnesses we have. We all have those witnesses. You know, as I look out, I other witnesses come to mind. And as I see Brother Peter sitting there, I think about his dear father, Uncle Fritz. Faithful man, came to the Lord at 14 years old. Brother Peter, how old was he when he passed away? 91. He seemed so old, but now with a father that turns 92 today and a mother who's 93, that's not quite that old anymore. But Uncle Fritz served the Lord for so many years, faithfully, buried two wives, two children. That's a witness that we have. We're surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, a great cloud of witnesses. And then the writer says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I love how he doesn't end it there. He said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Why did Jesus go through all of these things? Because he saw us. He saw me. While he was face down in the dirt in the garden, when his body was and his mind at that point was tormenting him. The humanity in his mind was tormenting him. And Satan was pulling out every stop that he could, and probably rehearsing everything that was going to happen. Jesus saw me. And he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And three times he goes through this agony. And at one point, the mental battle's over. The mental battle is over. And he gets up and he says, oh, where was this verse? I might not find it that quick. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. Okay, man, let's go. We're done with this now. We need the mental battle, that spiritual battle is won. We're gonna go. And he begins to endure the human part, the physical part, the betrayal of a friend, the physical abuse, the beatings, having a crown of thorns put on his head and then hit with a rod on top of that to make sure that those thorns pierce into his skull. And then the mocking. Everybody's mocking him. The Romans are mocking him. The Jews are mocking him. And they nail him to a tree. Through his hands, through his feet, not tied on with ropes, nailed. And they nail it when it's laying down. And then they stand it up. And then they slide it over to the hole. And it slides down and hits the bottom. And those nails just pull. And the mocking continues. And he doesn't say anything. He doesn't retaliate. He doesn't say, someday you're going to get your due. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Pilate was worried. Pilate was worried because he was a just man. Pilate knew that. And Pilate's wife said, have nothing to do with this just man. I've suffered many things because of him in a dream. And he's so concerned for Pilate. He even says, he that delivered me unto you has the greater sin. Couldn't absolve him of all of it, but he's trying. He's even worried about how Pilate feels. And as he's hanging on the tree, the other gospel writers will give us this. The one thief rails on him, says, if you're who you say you are, save us all. And the other one rebukes him and says, don't you fear God? We're here because we deserve to be here. He's a just man. He's innocent. And then says to Jesus, remember me when you get to your kingdom. And what does Jesus say? Today, you're going to be with me. While he's dying, he's even concerned about the thief that's hanging next to him. He's concerned about his mother. And he says to John, please take care of mom. She's your mom now. And we know John does. He wasn't murdered. He wasn't killed. He allowed himself to pass from this life to the life beyond. It doesn't say he died. It says he yielded up life, surrendered the last bit of humanity because it was done. There's one thing I left out. It's when he has to cry to his father. Why would he say his father forsook him? He was doing his father's will. Why would he have to cry that out? What was happening that didn't make sense to the people around? Well, God cannot bear sin. Not even if it's on his own son. God couldn't look at him. In the moment that his son was dying, because his son had my sins. My sins caused the father to turn away. My sins made my Savior die alone on a tree. After he yielded up the ghost, a bunch of these Jews were probably wondering, what in the world did they do? It's dark. You know, we're going to have a total solar eclipse. I'm really hoping that on the 8th of April, it's not cloudy here. I actually, without thinking, scheduled an eye doctor's appointment for the 8th at 3. I'm calling them Monday and saying, you need to change that. Sorry. This has happened before, but not to this extent in my lifetime here, and hopefully it won't. It won't be cloudy, but this is more than a solar eclipse. The sun went out. Earth changed. There were earthquakes. It got dark. Dark like night. Graves opened. People who had been dead were walking around. But I think what scared the Jews the most was the veil in the temple was torn. Not from the bottom up, not something that a bunch of zealots could get in and somehow make happen. God tore that from the top. And he said, from now on, there is no separation between me and my creation. Nobody has to go through any earthly high priest. Because the high priest, the high priest that was after the order of Melchizedek, a high priest that was perfect, that had no beginning and no end, that was not a Levite, had paid the ultimate sacrifice. The payment for sins of all men, of all mankind forever, was paid by the blood of our Savior. And everything changed. As I thought about this evening, and I talked to Frida about it, I said, you know, You don't want to have a Good Friday service. Much rather have a Resurrection Sunday service. But as I was thinking about tonight, I thought about that verse in Hebrews. And I thought about, some of you probably heard it, I tried to see if I could find it, and I may have found it, but I didn't have time to listen to it, when Tony Campolo talked about a service that he had to preach in a black church on a Friday night. And he thought that he had done a masterful job. And then the old Baptist preacher got up and just said these few words: "It's Friday. It's Friday. And our Savior hangs on a tree. It's Friday." And he said that a few times, and he got louder and louder as he said it. And then the last time he said, "It's Friday, but Sunday is coming." May the Lord add his blessing to these words.